Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Radio Star Worldwide Networks. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you along the best pathway for your life in this journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called, that's right, caregiver burnout. Sounds nasty. I should say it really low with an echo, with terrifying screams in the background like it was Halloween, because that's how scary it is. But it doesn't have to be. That's why we're here. We have an exciting show planned for you today. Even though it isn't the show we planned, we had Adrian had to cancel on me, and my guest Pam had to cancel on me. And so I called my fail-safe Linda Bice, who is always there, and she is very knowledgeable. And since the holidays are coming up, I figured we're going to talk about the holidays, because holidays can be really bad for caregivers, depending on, you know, if your wife or your husband died on Christmas and it reminds you of, you know, there's just so many memories, good and bad, but for many it's bad. Isn't that right, Linda?
That's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, when this happened to my husband, it was on Christmas morning.
So we're going to help you navigate these waters, and there's no one better to help navigate than Linda, because she's been through...
It'll be 10 years this Christmas morning.
If you think you've been through everything, we did a show with her 3 weeks ago. Go listen to it. You ain't seen nothing yet. And... I mean, that's nothing that we, you know, we boast about and wear proudly like a medal on our thing. But you know what? By golly, we did it, and we're going to brag about it, because we're still here. We're surviving, and many people have fallen by the wayside, but we're still here. So if you listen to us, I don't want to sound prideful or anything, but, you know, we're still here. So we can help you, because many of you are just fried to a crisp, you know, going on a wing and a prayer. You're like my cell phone, you know, flashing 1%, you know, danger, Will Robinson. You know, that's no way to be a successful caregiver. Anyway, stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. And if you're new to the show, we get many new listeners today, especially since we've gone video. And of course, my video recorder stopped working today. So, I mean, we're literally just kind of limping along with bubblegum and scotch tape today, but that's all right. I've got a great engineer, Engineer Ed, who's going to make it all just beautiful. Aren't you, Ed? Oh, no, I lost Ed, too. How's that? All right. Well, I'm your host, Dave Nassani. This show is caregivers of every single kind, and the one thing we know about caregivers is that they're caring, and they're selfless, and they're sacrificial, and, oh, yeah, they're very prone to burnout, because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Sound familiar? Like the airlines tell us, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first. Why? Because they know from experience that unless you put your needs above the needs of your loved one, you're going to black out. And, I mean, if we had a plane full of 100 people and you told them all to put your mask on first before you helped your child, nobody would do it. Because it's so ingrained in us. No, be self-sacrificial. Throw your body in front of the bullet or the car, you know. But with caregiving, it's so easy to do that, but we can't do that because we won't make it. We will become sicker than the person we're caring for. And then we'll need a caregiver. and there aren't any to go around. And now the person you're caring for has got to go in a nursing home because there's no one else, and you're in bad shape. And we're trying to just stop that from happening. So please listen to us. We know what we're talking about. Well, we also talk about grief and loss here, because after all, anytime you suffer loss, it throws us into this grief process. That's another dirty word. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. You can't bypass it or detour it, go up or down or around. You got to go through it. Sorry. But hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're stuck. Hey, I do want to take this time to thank my last week's guests. If I can remember who they were, well, whoever you were, thank you. That's how prepared I am.
Okay. That's another problem with caregiving. Your memory goes.
Yes. And tomorrow I have an appointment with my my memory specialist, because it's a special pilot program where they're trying to find an early cure for Alzheimer's and dementia. Since my mother died from it and I have a memory that's questionable, I figured I'm a good candidate to be studied. And so every 6 months they test me and they give me a bunch of questions, some easy, some kind of hard. And the good news is I'm just under the borderline of someone to be concerned about. But, you know, they said I should just keep busy, keep doing my radio show, keep learning new songs on the piano, because that kind of helps. And the good news is I'm not getting any worse. In fact, that's really good news. slightly, just a hair better than I was last time. We'll see how I'm doing next time when I go tomorrow. But I highly recommend that, because, you know, if I'm going to, you know, follow the road that my mother has followed, God forbid. Of course, she was in her late 80s when that happened. I'm only 62. But still, you know, it's a fate worse than death, in my opinion. And I at least want to know that I'm losing my mind if it happens. And I don't confess this on myself. You know, I believe in positive confession, so I just curse those words and render them powerless to come to pass. But, you know, they say expect the best, prepare for the worst. That's kind of what I'm doing.
That's it.
Anyway, go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com, because you can hear all our interviews, the past, present, and future. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, I mean, I'm a nice guy. I'm going to send you my first book I wrote, which is still getting rave reviews, valued at $10. I'm going to give it to you absolutely free. Now, what a deal is that? It's an ebook, so you'll download it, and it's still worth $10, even though you're downloading an ebook. All right, enough of that. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dave.
To this interview. I really appreciate it, because I know you had no notice, just like I didn't. So we already interviewed you 3 weeks ago, but just give us, like, in the 4-minute version, a real abbreviated thing of how you became a caregiver and what's going on with your husband and your child, who's not a child anymore. And then we'll get on to the holidays.
Okay. Well, on Christmas morning 2006, my husband, age 49, went into cardiac arrest and was dead an hour and 20 minutes before they were able to hook him up to life support. Then we thought our nightmare was over. A year and a month later, which was February the 3rd, it actually was Super Bowl Sunday of 08, our son, who was 14 at the time, became paralyzed from the waist down due to a rare virus called acute transverse myelitis. And we got him to MUSC. They couldn't help him. They sent us home with him in a wheelchair, saying, "This is it." He is 23 now, and against all odds, he is walking. He still can't feel his legs or feet, but he never gave up, and he's in leg braces, and he's my hero.
Wow. So, you know, you got Christmas to remind you that your husband suffered this terrible thing, and you've got the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Remind you what happened. Your son, I mean, gosh, you know, when we get to sleep, we're going to ask, why does bad things happen to good people? Because apparently we're not the only ones out there.
That's
but, you know, so many people who who have things like this happen to them, and certainly it's happened to me and my wife. I like Joyce Meyer. She says you can become bitter by life's experience, or you can become better. It's your choice. And if you become bitter, then, you know, you're just going to attract all that negative stuff, and you're going to look at everything as a half empty glass of water instead of a half full glass of water. You're going to not be able to turn the lemons into lemonade. You're just going to be a miserable human being. I love that movie, Grouchy Old Men. I mean, that's what
you'll be. I used to love that movie, yeah.
Grouchy old man and a grouchy old woman. But we're not, are we?
Absolutely not. And, you know, Dave, this reminds me of something that happened about 3 months after this happened to David. I met a lady in a restaurant, and she and I struck up a conversation. And she had been a caregiver for her husband for 15 years, and he had passed away. But she was so bitter and so angry. And I remember thinking, well, I had no idea. This will be 10 years this Christmas morning. And at that time, I had no idea that this, you know, would go on this long. And I remember I was in awe of thinking, how can she be so mad and angry for taking care of the person that she loved? But, you know, and I said to myself right then, I never want to be that way. You know, I never want that anger and I can't even describe.
No, I totally get it. And I don't know about you, but in my opinion, you know, death is a good thing for someone who is so severely disabled that they suffer and they want to go, you know, and they're saying, why is God keeping me here? You know, my mother said that for years. And finally, when she died, you know, we were all celebrating. And, you know, I wasn't her caregiver anymore. But, you know, I was like the club sandwich generation. I had my mother and I had my wife.
Yeah.
So, you know, my wife knows where she's going when she dies. I know where I'm going. And, you know, death is just the beginning, not the end. And that's just what we believe. But, yeah, to become bitter, you know, people see my wife and they don't even know she can't talk. She lost her speech in a stroke 20 years ago. But she's just radiant. You know, I mean, here's a picture here. This is after her stroke. And she just ministers to so many people. They can't believe, you know, when they hear her story. First of all, they can't believe that she can't talk, but she can communicate nonverbally. And 80% of our speech is, you know, nonverbal. So she does an excellent job doing that. And I've seen her have a conversation with a guy in the restaurant while we're waiting for a table, 20 minutes. They're just laughing, and slapping each other on the back. And doing and he doesn't know that she can't talk. Because, you know, she can make sounds and she can make gestures and she can touch and she can communicate with her eyes and she can point up, you know, and she just does it, you know, like these people who don't speak English, you know, who do the gardening and you tell them, hey, can you cut this? And they just shake their heads. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I lived in Mexico for 2 years in the 80s. I know.
They make you think that they're hearing, but they don't know a word you're saying. But, you know, with my wife, obviously, it's the opposite. So you are the expert of how to survive the holidays. I would love to hear how you just even made it through your first Christmas after that happened. Many people, you know, have similar situations. Someone died or someone got disabled on Christmas, and they don't even want to put up the decorations or put up a tree. They just don't want, you know, and they just shut down. How did you do it?
Actually, Dave, we have an amazing story. The first Christmas, 1 year later, what a way to celebrate our lives. We ended up, well, I know it was God working through us, but we ended up being able to save a family of six from being homeless. We got them in their new home the week of Christmas. And it was an absolute miracle. It all started. My family thought I was crazy because I sold everything and leased our house out and moved us to Charleston, South Carolina, because I'm an ocean. Charleston, South Carolina.
From where?
From Greenville. Yep. So from about 3.5 hours away. But I am a coastal person. I love the coast. So we moved down there, and Dorchester County began to send us a nurse just 2 hours a week, mm-hmm. and which we were absolutely thrilled. And because I still am at that point, I'll take anything. But this particular nurse came to our house, and her name was Geneva. And Geneva was absolutely wonderful person. As a matter of fact, she had been a caregiver, well, still is a caregiver, for her husband who came home. He was not in the Navy, but he was he worked on the ships and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it's called. Merchant Marine. He came home in a wheelchair and blind. So she ended up taking care of him. They were living in these condos that were sold, and they had to move out. So they had moved into this dump, and it was heartbreaking where they were living. And, she ended up having to raise four of her grandchildren, and they were ages about 4 to about 10, 11 years old then. Well, Trammell and I came in after our two-hour break, and she was on the phone. This was right after Thanksgiving, 2007. She was in tears. We asked her what was happening, and she said that the row of the places that they were living had been sold and they were going to be torn down. They had to be out before Christmas or around the week of Christmas. And she had nowhere to go, no money, absolutely no money to move. And then even the car that they were driving was so pitiful that you couldn't even get in on one side. You had to crawl in the other door to get to the other seat. Yeah, it was really bad.
So, I had one of those.
I think we all have, right? I used to have the Datsun with the dent. But anyway, so I told Trammell, I said, you know, after she left, I said, we can't let this happen. There's something that's got to be done. We've got to do something. So I got to talking to her. You know, I called her and I said, would you consider moving to Greenville, South Carolina? And she said, I don't care where we move. She said, we've just got to get out. So I decided, all right, let's go through our home and let's pick out everything that we can live without. Furniture, dishes, whatever we can live without, okay? So we drove to Greenville, South Carolina. Trammell and David, you know, put David in the car. We all went to Greenville, and we were staying with my sister. While we were there, we started looking for an apartment, and we found an apartment. I can't remember where they were, but anyway, the price was really good, and I talked to the lady, the manager, and she gave us a really good deal where we didn't even have to pay. We told her what we were doing. We didn't even have to pay a deposit. She let us just start paying rent for this family, right? So we went ahead and paid 2 months' rent, which was another long story. That was our house payment that we were supposed to use. But God worked it all out. But we went back. We went to my parents' house and got this trailer that they had that they hauled their motorcycles in. We took that back to Charleston, and we literally started loading that thing up. Well, a week before Christmas, we drove back to that apartment, and Trammell and I and David, we had David with us in diapers and all, we started camping out on the floor of that apartment. We didn't have anything, you know, we brought a mattress and and the few things that we had brought, you know, with us. So I started calling friends and people to see if they had anything they could donate. My sister, and I was sending out emails. My sister started sending the emails to Fox Carolina and I think another channel, TV channel too. Well, they wanted to do a story. So they came out and did the story. And do you know, it was like this awesome thing that happened that just out of the woodwork, people were donating and giving and furniture. As a matter of fact, the TV station contacted me and they said, we have people all over the place wanting to give, you know, to help, you know, set this up. Well, my sister or her husband and his brother, they own Stanley Steamer. They started taking all the furniture, cleaning it, making it like new, and then started delivering it to us. We literally, within a week, furnished that entire condo, well, not condo, but apartment, 3-bedroom, 2-bath apartment, from furniture to toilet paper, to toothbrushes, to dishes, to food, to everything you need in a home, even clothes, and a Christmas tree and gifts under the tree. Literally, the whole place.
I can hear the excitement in your voice. You're just like on fire. Were you always this positive before the accidents?
This is just me.
Who you are?
Yes, just who I am. It hasn't changed me.
So let's talk about what you took your eyes off of yourself and your circumstances and all of the crud that was going on in your life, and you turned it to others. And mm-hmm. everyone says, you know, that's excellent advice. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, if you're upset, if you're depressed, go help somebody.
That's it.
And take your eyes off of you and help somebody who's maybe in worse shape than you. I mean, as bad as your situation was, you had a place to live, right? You had a roof over your head. You had food in the refrigerator. Well, these people didn't, you know? So no matter how bad you think, now listen now, this is an important thing I'm going to say. No matter how bad you think you have it, and I used to think I had it pretty bad, you know? You're married to a wife who can't speak. I mean, communication is hard enough in a marriage. Take away speech and it's like, oh my gosh, you know? Yeah. But somehow I managed to survive, and not only survive, to prosper in the last 20 years. We finally reached the point where we've been married as long without a stroke as with a stroke. 20 and 20. We're married like 41 years. And so if I'm glad nobody told me that this was what my future was going to be, because I would have been so depressed just by hearing about it that I'd say, there's no way anybody can do it. It's like the odds of Donald Trump being president. Who'd have thought? You know? But, you know, there are miracles that happen and we can't explain them. But, you know, think of all of the joy that you would have missed out on, not only in helping a whole family to survive, but apparently you had fun doing this, right?
Oh, I could do this every day of my life. And we've done other families and helped other families since then. I've always told my son, and he knows, if I ever get down, which is very rare, all I have to do is start helping somebody else. You know, just, yeah.
This is a formula for you, right? Mm-hmm. This is your model. Mm-hmm. And is there... What advice do you give to people who maybe aren't as positive as you? I mean, can a negative person do this? I mean, we all know negative people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the glass is always half empty. Yeah. You know, sky is always falling and, you know, things are never going to get better. And, you know, a recession is just around the corner and so on and so on. I'm going to lose my job next week, even though there's no proof that that would happen. Is there hope for that person?
Absolutely. And I've seen it before. I have seen people do a full turnaround. And it's, well, to me, the most important thing is having Christ in your heart, you know, and then it comes natural. It's like, if I'm looking at somebody else, if I'm thinking about somebody else instead of myself, there's no way I'm going to be depressed. There's no way I'm going to feel down or like, oh, woe is me. You know, it's the focus on what can I do for this other person? How can I make this other person's life better?
And I want to explore that. I want to hear more about the God factor, because a lot of people, you know, are just turned off to God. You know, in my opinion, they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater because they had a bad experience. Everyone, every Christian or every churchgoer has had a bad experience. Somebody has been rude to them. Somebody has been awful to them. The pastor, you know, you name it, something has happened. But, you know, we're still human. People are still human. And they say, well, we'll talk about that more. I want to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Radio Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
So we're back with Linda Bice from the Bice family. And she's a caregiver, former model, still looks gorgeous, right up there with Melania Trump. So, anyway, so tell us, you were saying about a relationship with God. How can God really make a difference? You know, or the people who don't even believe in God, maybe they believe in a higher power, or they're agnostic, they just don't know, or the atheist who says, no, there's no God, you know. Without getting too philosophical and too, religious, tell us how you do it, how you can, you know, just balance it all in your head.
Do you know, I have been asked so many times, how in the world do you do this? How really? Do you not fall apart? And I always say, it's not me, it's God. If it was me, I'd be crumbling in a corner somewhere going, I don't want to do this anymore. Can we play something else? I don't want to play this game anymore. But it's
so you
like,
can be negative if you allowed yourself.
That's it. You know, but
it's a choice.
It's like the devil can take my happiness, or this world can take my happiness, but nothing can take the joy that is in my heart. You know, and the only way I have that joy is through Christ. And that's the reason I get up in the morning. You know, that's the reason that we all should get up in the morning, is to do what God has put us here to do. To, you know, and I have taught my son his entire life, we're put on this earth for two reasons. Number one is to serve God, and number two is to help others. And when you figure that path, you know, the reason that God put you here, that gives you your path, your road that you know. It's like a map, you know, or now it's Google, you know. That's going to tell you what you're supposed to be doing every day. And I am supposed to be helping others every day. And even though it's a small way now, taking care of my husband 24/7, and I look at any time I get to help others out here, that's just this awesome bonus gift that God's given me, you know. It's to show somebody else that, look, I love you because Christ loves you, and I want to help you make your life better. And I want you to see, you know, what he can do for you. And then, and number one, our son will never, ever have to wonder if God is going to take care of him, because that child has seen miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, every time we have been down to nothing, it's like this huge, well, we just had an example this weekend. We were down to what? It was like less than a half a pack of diapers. And we get a phone call, and I ended up with what? 6 cases of bed pads and rubber gloves, all the medical stuff that we need. And then 2 cases of diapers. And this happens over and over and over again. And it's like everything that, before I can even pray for something, God is handing it to us.
You know, the skeptics would call that a coincidence. And, you know, I've been serving God, Jesus, for 41 years. And I was skeptical at first, but I have an open mind. So I went along with it. And I saw coincidence after coincidence after coincidence. I didn't call them miracles in those days. But after about the 25th or the 26th or the 30th coincidence, you know, I heard this little voice in my head that's saying, how many is it going to take before you acknowledge that this is a miracle? That if you were rolling dice in Las Vegas, you'd be a gazillionaire based on the odds of all these coincidences happening. Yes. And so I finally just realized that I was witnessing miracles. And you know, I'm not going to share any of them here, but many of them were financial, many of them were physical, many of them were relational. I can go on and on and on, but I won't bore you with that. But I want to ask, you talked about joy in the heart. And that's an interesting thing, because a lot of people don't know, they're just between fun and joy. Can you kind of explain the difference? And is joy really something that you can only get from God? A joyful person, as opposed to someone who's just having a good time, having fun, having thrills, you know?
Yeah, there's so, I mean, that's two different worlds. I mean, you can go out and have fun and get thrills, you know, by serving the devil, you know, and by doing anything out there that you enjoy doing. It could be wrong, or it can, you know, not be wrong. You can go out and have fun like that anytime. But then when things start to go bad, guess what? You're not having fun anymore, and you're miserable. But with God, with that joy, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You can be down in the valley or up on top of the mountain. You've still got that same joy, that same happiness, and you can't.
So Christians don't necessarily, I mean, true Christians, because everybody calls themselves a Christian, you know. The people killing people with suicide bombers and vests in the Middle East are calling themselves, you know, godly and what have you. So, I mean, I'm sure our definition is different from God's definition. But what is the difference when we say that when bad things happen to good people, being a Christian doesn't make bad things stop happening.
Right.
And I think the Bible says the rain falls on the good and the bad alike. But what's the difference? They're both getting wet.
But to me, there's a purpose in these things that happen. You know, so many lives have been touched and so many lives have been changed by what we have gone through. Even when Trammell was paralyzed, and I got us in touch with, I used to volunteer at Shriners, and I got in touch with Shriners here. They couldn't help us, so they flew us to Philadelphia to the spine hospital there, that the Shriners, Shriners Hospital in. But we were there, and we were there for a month, and they were teaching Trammell how to live in a wheelchair and all this. And I kept saying, well, we're praying for recovery. We're praying for recovery. Of course, you know, one of the nurses even said to me that I should stop giving my son false hope. So the miracle is that by the end of that month, Trammell made hospital history, being the first acute transverse myelitis patient they had ever had in the history of that hospital.
Another
to
coincidence,
stand up and walk. Yeah, he was using a walker, but they had never had anybody that could do that. They took pictures of him walking through the door with the walker. They brought students, they brought doctors, all these people in our room. And guess what? I got to testify to all of these many people that they kept bringing in there. I got to tell them. There was David. It was all three of us in one hospital room. We had two cots, one for me, one for David, and then Trammell's hospital bed. But I got to tell our story, and they got to see what God could do. And I told Trammell, I said, if only one person was saved by what we have just gone through and you being paralyzed, it was worth it.
Well, wow, that's great that he has faith like that, too, at such a young
absolutely.
Age. You know, because think about it. I thought about this for myself. You know, if my wife never had a stroke, if you didn't go through what you went through, we would just be, you know, normal people, quote unquote, normal people, nice people, positive people, but nothing that CNN or, you know, ABC News or NBC or would invite us to speak to the world because we're so exceptional. Right. No, we're just normal people. We're just nice people getting along, you know, nothing really to boast about. But then all of a sudden, you know, I'm held in high regard for some reason because they think what I'm doing for my wife is so exceptional, is so unusual, is so amazing. David, you have crowns in heaven. David, you have the patience of Job. And I'm sure they say the same thing about you.
I was about to say, I hear that stuff all the time.
I don't feel like I deserve that because I'm just doing the new normal. I mean, I'm you know, you play the cards that you're dealt, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you know, I just don't get what the big hubbub is about, but you said it well. You says there's a purpose in everything. You know, there's a Bible verse that says these trials or these struggles or these problems are only to test your faith, to see if it's pure, just like fire tests gold. And your faith is worth more to God than mere silver and gold. So that means whatever happens, good and bad, God says he'll turn it around, and if you eventually wait long enough, there will be great things coming from this. I said, what could possibly come from my wife's stroke where she can't talk, she can't walk for 20 years? How could that possibly be good? You know, I'm sure you ask the same questions, but I've seen it. I've seen my wife is an influential person. When someone meets her, they're changed just by meeting her, just by seeing the radiant smile on her face. And it's like whatever problems they have, they look at this woman and they say, oh my God, you know, what the heck am I complaining about? This woman lost her speech. She lost everything. And I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And she is radiant. She has a smile on her face. She points up to heaven and has faith in her heart that everything is going to be fine. I mean, you can't buy that stuff. That's like that Visa commercial. It's priceless.
That's it. You know? That's
and
exactly
I'd,
right.
I'd rather be in that place than to be, you know, a normal person lots of money or lots of this or lots of that. Those people don't exist, by the way. Everyone is going through something. Everyone is, you know, their wife just handed them a divorce or the doctor just said you got, you know, 3 weeks to live or your kids are on drugs or this one committed suicide. I mean, everyone is going through something. Yeah. I think when God handed out the trials and the problems, he did it very fairly. Now, some things look like they're worse than others because, like I said, I've thought I've had a problem and then I meet someone like yourself who's, you know, you make my problems pale in comparison. Maybe you feel that way about me. I don't know, because it's in the eye of the beholder.
That's it,
But see, God gave you what you have the grace to handle. I can't handle it, but he gave me what I have the grace to handle. Maybe you can't handle it, you know, or an autistic child, or, you know, you just name it. Yeah. So, yeah, joy is an amazing thing, a gift from God. And he gives other things, too, the fruit of the Spirit. You know what they are? Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, long suffering. Oh, and that sounds just like it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And self-control, you know, and love and self-control are like the bookends. Mm. If you really have love and you have self-control, then all the rest will take care of itself, like a sandwich.
That's awesome. I've never heard that put that like that. I like that. That's pretty good.
Well, So when we go through the holidays, you didn't even have one bad Christmas, have you?
No, I mean, we've had broke Christmases, you know, but no bad Christmases. And we have been blessed to be able to help other families every Christmas. There has always been a way that we've been able to help others.
We lose the real meaning of Christmas. I'm reminded of that old story of this couple. They were newly married and they were broke and they were just barely getting by. See, in those days, people could only afford to buy one present, and usually they could afford to make one present for the one. It's not like today where you get 27 presents and the kids get, you know, 13 presents each and this and that. You know, it's kind of gotten out of hand. So anyway, this particular story, I know you've heard it, is he wanted to buy a hair clip for his wife's beautiful long hair, and she wanted to buy him a watch holder for his watch, but he had no money. So he sold his watch to buy her the clip, and she had no money, so she cut her hair off his watch thing, and they exchanged gifts, and all they could do was laugh because they were still broke, but they had these useless gifts, but they had each other, and they were in love, and you know, that's the real meaning of Christmas and stuff.
Amen.
Exactly. Ed, are you back? Ed,
I am here. Don't worry. I had to run to the bathroom. Sorry.
Where did you leave us, Ed? You're missing all this stuff.
I couldn't believe. I mean, the one time I have to run to the bathroom and you try to go to bro.
You're gonna use the went to the bathroom excuse. Huh?
Sorry, buddy.
So, what do you think of this, Ed? Are we just talking here, or are we making sense?
No, you're making sense. You've told that story before about the hair clip and the watch holder. I love that story so much because it really defines where you don't have to give a gift, so to speak, of, you know, run to Walmart and buy something. it's a gift of your heart.
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice.
It really is.
Isn't that what a gift really is? I mean, that's what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed his son. You know, a lot of people don't get that concept.
And I agree with that. You know, God gave his only begotten son to, you know, so we didn't have to suffer.
And my kids, you know, I value more a card that they sat down and took the time to write, because kids don't write long things. But
no.
But when they do, man, it's priceless. I save it in my filing cabinet. I got things that my kids made, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they're priceless to me. And I read them, and I just feel that one. Now, if they gave me a little trinket, that'd be in the trash a long time ago. You know what I mean? Again, priceless.
I agree with that. You know, I didn't understand. I thought I understood a lot of what you're talking about much earlier in my life, and I respected and I tried to live my life with certain values, but I didn't really understand it until my daughter was born 4 years ago. And then I understood what everybody was talking about. You know, you think you do, but you really don't until you look in the eyes of your own child and realize that that's what sacrifice is. You are willing to give up everything for this person. And then when you realize that either your partner, your wife, your mother, your father, your grandparents, they've already sacrificed that for you, and then it's your turn to do it for them, then, you know, that's why you do what you do, Dave, because you understand that. You get it.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the world today. You know, the vast population, you know, they're just me, me, me. What's in it for me? You know, very selfish. They were born, you know, the entitlement generation, I think some people call them. And, you know, unfortunately, we see it in our kids, and we're to blame. You know, we spoil them. We gave them everything they wanted, and then we gave them more of what they wanted. And it was like these things, these toys, these trinkets were the babysitters because we didn't have time to spend time with them. You know, kids would much rather have us and our time and go fishing or teach them how to, you know, chop wood or something like that than to just throw a video game at them, you know, or an Xbox or whatever. So I still don't think we get it. And unfortunately, we've got this generation of kids who I notice in college campuses seem to think that the world owes them a living. And if they lose an election or something, then they deserve to have the day off and to have hot chocolate and get an emotional service animal and to have you know, emotional counseling and to have their exams, their midterm exams postponed.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life was the reaction.
And I don't care if you're conservative or Republican. This
exactly.
is common sense, but like, common sense
seriously?
Isn't common anymore.
And then you don't see, and again, this isn't a Republican or Democrat thing, but I don't understand why the people of the Democratic Party doesn't say, hey, guys, okay, we lost,
they just
let it go. They just let it go, and I'm like, this is why they're doing this, because those types of values, those types of morals don't apply to them now.
Yeah.
Whereas,
or
you know...
If
my four-year-old looks
at
me,
you got people jumping up and down on cop cars, Where's the outrage of that? You know, an attack on the police force is an attack on all of us. It's like, who are these people? How did we get invaded like this? Because they don't act like Americans.
If my 4-year-old talks back to me and she is, she finds out why it's not right to talk back to me. Now, I don't hit her upside the head or anything, but she may get a little paddle on the pawpaw, so to speak, saying, no, I'm in charge and there's a reason why you get this.
Well, that's one reason why I believe we are very close to the return, the second return of Jesus, because he said in the last days, you know, men will be lovers of themselves and that kids will be disobedient. And I know it may seem like it's always been like that, but it's worse now, you know, with the communication, the internet, you know, information and, you know, bad things can just... travel the globe like in milliseconds. Someone told me when Lincoln had enemies attacking him, you know, it wasn't tweeted all over the world, you know, for the world to see. You know, it took years for information to get around. And we're just, I don't know, I'm sounding negative now, but, you know, it's actually positive because I would be real depressed at what's going on in the world if I didn't know that there is a Savior coming, and he's going to save us from all this. And he promised to give us 1,000 years of righteous rule, you know. Can you imagine? 1,000 years where nobody's stealing public money, and the roads will actually get fixed, and you know, we'll have honest people, you know, working
kind
for us. Judges who can't be bribed, and you know, no left, no right, no conservative, no Republican, just truth, you know. Truth and common sense in the American way. And it's coming. It's coming sooner than you think. Or as my friend Andre Crouch says, soon and very soon.
Well, I'll have to say, I got to brag on Trammell, my son, because he is so much of an adult. Well, he's had to be an adult since he was 13, you know, because when this happened to his dad, it was like he became the man of the house helping me take care of his dad. But I've always taught him others first, self last. And he is the first one to jump up and help somebody. And he is so level-headed. And if I even get upset or anything, he's the first one, Mom, take a deep breath and just calm down. You know, everything's going to be all right. I'll do this and you know, do that. But yeah, I mean, he and I both were laughing at these college kids out here doing all this. You know,
now, let me have you clarify, because what you said is true, but there's a time, like I said at the beginning of the show, that as a caregiver, you can't think that
That's
way.
That's right.
Right. So
That's
tell
right.
us the exception to that rule before the That's caregivers it. All burn themselves out.
Well, when I say others first, self last, it's like, don't think of yourself all the time. Be out here and help other people. You know, step out. If you see somebody that needs help,
sure.
Get help for them, or you help them buy groceries for somebody who doesn't have food. We just did that this week. Everybody, a friend of ours, went around and collected food from all of us to take to the people. But that's what I, you know, instilled in him is don't think about me all the time. Think about others first, and helping others and making sure that they're okay, but not, yeah.
Yeah, a caregiver does have to, you know, with the relationship of the caregiver, you know, obviously they need to take care of their needs, but they need to take care of their needs as well, you know.
Absolutely.
Try to have boundaries. I know it's impossible with your husband because he's like an infant mentally.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? We've raised infants before, and infants either control us or we control them.
We control them. That's it.
So, you know, we can't have the prison inmates running the prison, you know.
That's it.
So awesome. Hey, let's take another break, Ed, and we'll be right back. We're a little overdue for it. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive. To survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Linda Bice and me, Dave Nassani, Caregiver's Caregiver. And my gosh, you know, when I tell people that the show is an hour long, they go, "Oh, how am I going to talk for an hour?" I says, "Don't worry, it goes so fast." And I always have to say, "Wow, I can't believe the time has gone so fast." Our break was so long. We've got about, how many minutes do we have, Ed?
You got 10 more minutes, buddy. You got nobody
okay.
After
well,
today.
Go really
so.
Fast. So what should we talk about now, Linda? What else about the holiday?
I was about to say Christmas. You know, people are always going, I know somebody that's a caregiver, but I don't know what to do for them. I don't know what to do for them, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
There's so much that, and all right, one family, we send them a case of toilet paper every month. And, you know, people are like, "Toilet paper, yes, and that's like gold." And she tells me, she's, you know, sends me a thank you. And she goes, "As a matter of fact, it's that same family that we saved from being homeless." Well, she says, "I got my toilet paper. Thank you. It's gold." And so
that's things right. Like, you know, that. Buy gold, silver, and toilet paper. When in
but things like that. And if you know that somebody uses diapers, adult diapers, send a case of diapers to them. Do you know we have a lady that lives in Japan that found out about our family about 2 or 3 years ago, and she has sent us a case of diapers every month. Yeah. And that's like getting a case of gold, you know. And so many, even if you don't want, if you can't purchase something, go over and take a, you know, bake something for them, bake some cookies, visit with them, and come in and say, "Okay, we've got a couple of women here. We're going to come in and clean your house for you." You know, anything like that that's going to relieve the caregiver, and buy groceries for them if you want to buy, you know, something for them. We have this joke about every year, my friends and family, all right, like last year, you know what I got for Christmas? 6 pairs of pajamas. That's all I got was 6. Everybody that we knew gave me a pair of pajamas. And the funny thing is, you know, it's like 10 years I haven't had a decent night's sleep, but, you know, but they give me all these pajamas. Well, why don't, you know, it's like if you're going to give somebody some pajamas, say, "You know what, I'm going to come over and take care of your loved one for a whole 24 hours so you can go somewhere and you can have a night's sleep." You know,
it's priceless.
Yeah. I mean, people, and see, before all this happened, I didn't have a clue either of what I could do. But there's so many things, and so many people don't do anything because they don't know what to do. And if you ask a caregiver, they'll go, "Oh, I'm fine. You know, oh, you don't have to do that." And they're like, "Well, okay." Don't ask. Just come in and say, this is what we're doing for you. And I guarantee you they will appreciate it. But it's the small things that...
Yeah, the small things. That's amazing. Ed, you got any ideas yourself?
You know, what Linda just said is so true. When I was taking care of my grandmother, the best Christmas gift I got was my sister flew out from Chicago to surprise me and walked in, didn't even know she was coming, and said, "I've got her. Go."
Yeah.
And so that just I got 2 days off, and it was an incredible 2 days. You know, and, you know, being a caregiver, you kind of get that guilt, like, oh, no. And she looked me square in the eyes. She goes, "Don't you feel guilty? Don't you try not to enjoy yourself? You just know if I need something, I'll call you." And it was great. And I think that's the best gift you can give a caregiver is a day off, because we don't get them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a thing called physical massages, you know. Thai massage, very, very inexpensive, $45 for an hour, plus a tip, maybe $5 tip, so $50 during the weekday. And, you know, 2-3 people can chip in to get the caregiver a much-needed massage and someone watching their loved one. Mm-hmm. That, you can't even put a value on that. That is worth so much money. Or an hour off to go to Starbucks and to just sip on some caffeine and read a book, or, you know, 2 or 3 hours to go get your hair done or get a, go to a movie, get your nails done.
Get a mani-pedi.
Yeah. Or if you're really feeling generous, a weekend, you know, so that you can just go wherever, take one of those 48-hour cruises to Mexico. So many ideas.
I had a here's something cheap. Really simple too, is if for our gift idea for a caregiver is do the grocery shopping for them for a day. You know, just let give them the list and or go with them one time and find out what they need and just you know, not that you have to pay for it, but just do the shopping.
Yeah, I mean, I hate doing the shopping. My wife, with her power chair, she can shop for 5 hours, shop till she drops. No, shop till I drop. God. She never drops. And, you know, I'd rather have a root canal than go to the store with her. Because, you know, I finally get my own wheelchair at the store because I cannot keep up with her. So now we're at least on an equal playing field. And so we'll see people, you know, we go to church around the corner and they'll say, "Oh my gosh, what's the matter with you?" I said, "No, I'm just trying to keep up with her."
You know, Dave, what they say, rubbing is racing. So can you see those two in the, you know, in the aisles? It's like NASCAR.
And she usually does beat me. She goes faster than me. So.
Well, she's, you know, got a lot more experience in that chair than you.
That's right. Yes. She's been driving longer, right?
She does.
I love it.
Well, I love the holiday season. And, you know, I've hurt my back. I'm having a procedure Thursday where they're going to try to burn the nerve endings on, you know, these L5 herniated disc. And so hopefully that'll work. If that doesn't work, they're going to do some surgery and this and that. But, you know, it's just... It's just so, I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Well, it was good, whatever it was. And don't worry, it'll come back to me and we'll pick it up there. So how many days till Christmas now? How much time do we have?
See.
It's 29th, so we got 25.
26.
Not many days to Christmas. I got tired of changing the days on it, so I wrote.
Less than a month, and we know how quickly that went when they were telling us that the election was less than a month away. That's how quickly Christmas will come.
It will be here.
And, you know, my wife, she's crazy. She does all her Christmas shopping like January 1st so that she's got it all done. You know, she decorates on Halloween. And
that's a party foul. I'm sorry. Halloween.
You know, she says Christmas doesn't last very long.
My sister waits till the day after Halloween.
And it's so much work to decorate that she wants to, you know, make it worth your while. It's like, do you go on a 8-hour flight somewhere to just spend 2 days there? No, you're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks because you make it worth your while. That's her logic for Christmas. So, well, it's been a great
Thanksgiving.
It's been a great Christmas show, and I hope you all got some great ideas. Linda, if somebody wants to call you and just tell you how great you are or ask your pick your brain for some more ideas, how can they get a hold of you?
Well,
do you have people just call you or email you?
Email thebicefamily@gmail.com. And also our website, www.bicefamily.weebly.com. And you can also contact us through that, too. And on Facebook.
Bice, B-Y-C-E.
B-Y. Or if you just Google the Bice family, there's only two that pop up, us and a family of dentists, and we're not the dentist.
I know this guy who looks like Tom Petty. You know him, Tim Gillette.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a new website, NotTomPetty.com.
Did he really?
They can't remember a website, but they know that website.
That's awesome.
What were you going to say, Ed?
I said, that's awesome. I love Tim Gillette. That's just awesome.
He does look like Tom Petty.
He does. He really does. Yeah, we used to tease him about that all the time.
Yeah. Well, we're here every week, everybody, and thank you for tolerating this unprepared, unplanned show. Because sometimes, you know, as a caregiver, you just got to roll with the punches. Now, I could have gotten stressed out and started sweating and get all nervous and have my blood pressure go up. But, I've learned over the years. So I did that on my very first radio show when things didn't work out. I had all these technical difficulties. Of course, it wasn't on the Radio Star Network, and that was half the problem. But
as long as your producer doesn't have to, you know, go to the bathroom.
You know, you just have to take life easy because life's going to throw you curveballs. And it's like, okay, so what? You know, it's not the end of the world. In 10 years, I'm not going to remember this day because it's that unimportant in the relative grand scheme of things. Now, this is like my 110th show, and that is important that I managed to do 110 shows, and it just seemed like I started yesterday. But you know what? I'm going to have fun doing these shows. I'm not going to stress out about it if it doesn't work out. There's a reason why it doesn't work. Linda needed to tell her story, so that's why we're all here. And we'll get Pam back another day when the Skype is working and all that. And she'll, but it was Linda's turn here. So don't forget when you're on the website, go to the here we go again.
Yeah.
Swiss cheese memory. You hit a hole, you know. We have a link that will see if you're a candidate for burnout, and I'll give you my free book if you answer the questions, and you'll not only find out you're burned out and you need help, but you also get the book, which will help you. So see you next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dave, real quick before we go, I just wanted to say thank you to Linda, because now that both times that I've produced your show that she's been on, it's just your story gives me chills, and I just wanted to say thank you.
She has an amazing
You're an amazing woman, and just God bless you. All right, now I'll hit the outro.
Average person.
No, I think she was pretty awesome beforehand.
I've never been normal, but I'll take average.
Sorry to interrupt your perfect closing there, buddy, but I had to say it.
Well, thank you for saying that and taking the extra time to say that. God bless everybody, and as Tiny Tim would say, God bless us, everyone.
Travel.
Thank you for listening to the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific, or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on Radio Star Worldwide.
The commercial you got to stick in the first one.